Good evening. Thank you for letting me speak on goodness this evening, part of our summer sermon series. I guess if you wanted to alliterate it, it's summer series, summer sermon series 7. Anyway, we're going to take a look at what God's Word says about goodness. I don't know whether y'all are like me. When I'm reading or studying something, I tend to understand it better if I kind of get an idea of what's going on in the whole picture. Yes. Amen. So before we start, obviously, let's start with reading our text, Galatians 5, 16 through 23, if you'll find that in stand. Then I'll kind of tell you where we're at. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the beautiful day you gave us, a little bit of rain, just a chance we have to be here in your house tonight, Lord, to open your word. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit might illuminate the scriptures for us this evening, that as we read, we can understand what we're reading, that we can apply it to our lives, that we can be obedient to your word, that we can be people that manifest the fruit of the Spirit, that people might see you working in us. We do pray that for the ones that are sick, gone, couldn't be here this evening. Lord, I pray that everything that's said and done tonight might bring honor and glory to you. We love you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. I guess, basically, the book of Galatians by itself is a letter from Paul to the church that had been founded in Galatia. It's a local church, just like Bethany Baptist Church. Galatia is basically what we think of now, Western Turkey. Kind of give you an idea where it's at. Made up of Jewish people that had been saved. And as the church grew, people, these Jews, decided to take matters in their own hands. Paul calls them Judaizers. They're trying to convince the rest of the church that in order for the church members and the Christians to be right with God, they needed not only to be saved, but they had to keep the laws and traditions and the rules and all the stuff that the Jews always did. Galatians 5:2 tells us, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." So Paul's telling him, it's not following the laws. It's not following the rules. It's not the feasts. It's not all of it put together. Salvation is by faith alone. In Ephesians, it says grace through faith. If all the Jewish rules and all the traditions and all the stuff they did were able to save, what was the point of Christ dying on the cross? Right. And even today, the devout Jews make a lifetime making sure that they follow all the rules concerning the Sabbath and the feast days and their holy days, and everybody can see them doing all these things, see how holy they are. I mean, it's crazy. Like if your T-shirt gets wet, you can leave it out in the sun on Sunday, let it dry, but you can't wring it out because that's work. When you're reading your Bible, you get to Leviticus, it kind of gets bogged down with all the rules, right? How would you like to be them and have to memorize it? So that kind of brings us to our text. Paul's telling them that them and us, once we're saved, walk in the Spirit, excluding all their rules and regulations. They will gradually, as they grow, exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, and people will know that they're saved because they see the fruit of the Spirit. They don't have to do all this other stuff in front of everybody. So our text says we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There was a list of those: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, that's impure motives, lasciviousness, that's unbridled lust, idolatry. That's basically anything we won't give up for God. You ever thought about that? Anything you won't give up to serve God just became God. Witchcraft, kind of the basis of drug use. Hatred, variance. Variance is arguing. Emulations is uncontrolled rivalry. Wrath, strife. Strife is having a divisive spirit. Seditions is taking sides. Heresies, putting man's beliefs ahead or above of God's beliefs. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. That's partying. Anyway, if we walk in the Spirit, these things won't be part of our life anymore. And the fruit of the Spirit will start to manifest. So since I'm not always the smartest person around, I decided I needed to find out what it meant to walk in the Spirit. If I'm expected to do it, I gotta know how. But it's easier than I thought. First of all, we accept Christ our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in us, empowers us to overcome sin and live for the Lord. But it's a choice. Just like sin is a choice. We choose to walk in the Spirit, or we choose to walk however we want to. But when we choose to walk in the Spirit, we have access to the Spirit's strength and guidance and all the things the Holy Spirit does. Walking in the Spirit means relying on Him. He leads, we follow. He speaks, we listen. He warns, we obey. Kind of like being a guide on a safari. You don't do what He says, something bad's going to happen. But every day you have to decide. You get up in the morning, today I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to go where the Holy Spirit leads me, listen when He speaks. If He says something, pay attention to what's going on. When we do this, we produce the fruit of the Spirit, which enables others to seek Jesus in us and in our life. When we don't walk in the Spirit, we look just like everybody else. So, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. So what's goodness? Goodness defined, I guess in your Strong's Concordance or Bible Dictionary or whatever, kindness, mercy, or grace. So, I hadn't really thought about this, but without God, man has no goodness, period. Because we have a sin nature. So everything that we are, everything we do, every part of our being is affected by that sin nature. Now, can we be kind? Well, yeah, but it's not something that comes natural. It's not something that's a part of it. It's something we decide to do, but it's not part of our life. Can we show mercy? Can we be gracious? Well, on occasion. But it's still tainted by our sin nature. The people around don't know our motives. They don't know what we're thinking. They don't know there might be something else coming after that. So, without God, we're just basically sinners acting acting or pretending that we're good. But only God is good. Only God can exhibit total goodness. And I found these verses I thought was really cool. Actually, it was, even look up the verses was a kind of an eye-opener. Because I started looking up verses where it talks about mankind being good. I think I found three. And then I started looking up verses about God being good. Well, I stopped looking at about 30. Because I didn't need that many. I just found several. But Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." In other words, no matter how righteousness is just right living. So in other words, anything that we do right as humans is still just like a filthy rag. It's nothing. And our iniquities, that's our attitude towards our sin, have taken us back to our unsaved nature because we have a sin nature. Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So that means we are desperately wicked. Ephesians 2:1-5, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." You ever thought about that? Before we're saved, we're actually following Satan. Where he leads, it's where we go. What he says, that's what we do. I mean, even our prayers. Up until we're saved, the only prayers God ever hears is a prayer of repentance. The rest of us, we're just following the devil. It says, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Children of the devil. I mean, even when we think we're doing good, even when we think we're behaving right, before we're saved, we're just like everybody else, children of the devil. But then God, on the other hand, in Psalms 31:19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee." As powerful and as awe-inspiring and huge and what everything that God is, it says how great is thy goodness. And Psalms 33:5 says, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Doesn't say anything about the earth being full of man's goodness. It says the man doesn't have any. And I thought this was interesting. Psalms 107, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31 are all identical. And it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." You ever thought about just thanking God for his goodness? Not for the things he's done for you, just for being good. Maybe for not doing the things he could have done for you or to you. And I don't believe it's repeated by accident. So make sure we get it. So to accent the difference between us and between God. We have no goodness. Everything that he is goodness. So when we accept Christ as our Savior and are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, we have access to what God has for us. One of these things is goodness. It's still not ours, but we can access it. Again, remember, it's kindness. So if we don't have any innate goodness, then we are by nature not kind. You ever notice how cruel little kids can be sometimes? That's just that little sin nature coming out. If we have no inbuilt goodness, that means we also have no natural mercy in us. We have no natural grace in us. when we begin walking in the Spirit, we begin to exhibit these things, exhibiting goodness. We have the ability to be kinder to those that are around us, the ability to be more merciful, the ability to be more full of grace. And have to remember what mercy is. Mercy is when we don't get something we deserve. Grace is when we do get something we don't deserve. Was never a part of our makeup till now. Now we're saved. But just being saved doesn't do it. It's be saved and walk in the Spirit. Goes back to what we said a while ago. He leads, we follow. He speaks, we obey. He warns, we stop and see what's warned about. Walking in the Spirit. Just, I don't know, this came to my mind. Driving around the loop, maybe in the rain, you don't see much kindness, mercy, no grace. It's hard to remain kind, merciful, and gracious when they're all cutting you off. If you don't go fast enough, they honk. If you go too fast, they honk. Or worse. But I think that when the Holy Spirit included goodness in the fruit, you notice it doesn't say fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit. It's all one thing. Just different. Like an egg, there's a shell, there's a white, there's a yolk, but it's still an egg. This is fruit, but it's made up of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. So the Holy Spirit included goodness in the fruit because He wanted us, as we walk in the Spirit, to open our eyes and look around us. See the needs of those around us. I mean, think about it. Think of the homeless people in Lubbock. No place to cool off. No place to keep food if they had it. Where do you keep a change of clothes? Or if they're recently homeless, still have a car, do they buy gas? Do they buy food? I read somewhere that there's a large population that's just one paycheck away from being homeless. Not because of drugs, not because of alcohol, maybe a bad decision, maybe their boss had a bad day and they got fired. But goodness means we look at people like this differently. What about those that are addicted to drugs or alcohol? Now, I do agree that you become addicted by choice. It's a sin, you made a decision. But once you're hooked, it's not like you can just say, okay, I'm done, I think I'll go back to normal. It doesn't work that way. Addiction runs everything it touches. It affects friends, it affects family, it brings sickness, brings mental problems. And before we're saved, or the days we don't walk in the Spirit, we just say, deal with it, or get over it, or get out of my way, or but when we walk in the Spirit, like we're supposed to have goodness in our life and in our heart, we see things differently. We won't say, okay, first of all, praise God, that's not me. What's it say? But for the grace of God, there go I. But what can I do to affect this? What can I do to change this? What can I do to help this? I mean, we don't even think about stuff like this normally. We see the guy standing on the street corner and usually have some bad thought in our head about why he's there or why he shouldn't be there or what he's going to do with whatever you give him. But goodness, that's not what goodness is. Goodness means kindness. Goodness means mercy. Goodness means graciousness. What about the kids in school that haven't had a good meal for a few days? What about the shut-ins? What about the elderly? Maybe can't afford their medicine. Or maybe, you ever thought about this? They have that, their grass grows like everybody else. Somebody needs to mow their yard. What if the plumbing breaks? Somebody's got to go pick up medicine. Without goodness, we don't notice these things. But goodness brings these things into our mind and into our sphere of influence, our sphere of observation. And I think that's why the Holy Spirit wants us to have this goodness so we, as Christians, we can affect some of these things. Because without goodness, there's just people. But as we walk in the Spirit, that goodness begins to manifest itself. Manifest means to make itself obvious. We see them as something that we can affect. Goodness makes us see things different. Goodness makes us see people different. Goodness as kindness. Yep. Doesn't hurt to do something nice for somebody you don't know. May cost a little time. May cost a little money. So give the guy with the sign on the corner $20. Not all of them, obviously, but the Holy Spirit urges you to do that. You say, well, he's going to go buy a beer. That's between him and God. Goodness says do what you can do. Just be nice. You know, it doesn't hurt to be nice to somebody. I mean, even little things. I went to the store Sunday night, Monday night, whatever night it was. Went to United. And I only had two or three things. And there was I hate to say a little old lady because I'm now a little old man. But there was an elderly lady with a few things in her basket. And she was, oh, come on, honey. You just have just a few things. Why don't you go ahead? She was just being nice. And we don't think about that. I'm in such a hurry. I got to get through the line. I got to get in the car. I got to get to work. We're in such a rush and in a hurry to go somewhere. We don't take time to be nice. I mean, goodness cost Jesus his life. The goodness he felt for us. The mercy, the grace. Mercy says the people that we see around us that are in need, they don't need for us to talk bad about them or down to them. They need for us to, if nothing else, don't make them feel worse. Reach out to them. If you're going to offer to pray for them, pray for them. Or better yet, pray with them. They may not deserve help. That's what grace is. Just like we don't deserve things Christ has done for us. Goodness says it's not for us to decide whether they deserve help or not. That's between them and God. Jesus didn't walk through a crowd of people in need and ignore them. Jesus didn't walk through a crowd and make rude comments or kick people out of the way or come in a hurry, come on, move, get out of the way. Or making comments around him. What does it say? It said he had compassion. That's almost a foreign word to most of us. When's the last time you had compassion on somebody? That means you cared more about them than you care about yourself. And what Paul was trying to get the Judaizers to understand, all of their rules, regulations, and feasts, and traditions, and things they were trying to do. Matter of fact, the last part of it here says, but the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Their law doesn't affect any of that. That's the Holy Spirit. Their law won't accomplish any of that. That's the Holy Spirit. And if they can set all that aside and walk in the Holy Spirit, just like if we set our selfish desires and our being in a rush and our trying to hurry aside and walk in the Spirit, that we will see things and do things differently. And it sounds easy. But it's still a choice. You got to get up every morning and make a choice. You got to decide, today I'm going to do this. All he's saying is, if you're saved and you claim to be a Christian, for goodness sake, act like a Christian. I mean, that's the Mark version, I understand, but that's what all these things, as the fruit of the Spirit, has shown in our lives. That's what we're doing. We're acting like a Christian acts. That's what we're supposed to be. People are supposed to see the love. and the love brings joy, and the joy and the love bring peace, and that brings long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and more to come, one after another, one built on top of the other one. Starting with, I guess starting with our love for Christ and compassion being a love for people and showing that love to the people that are around us. So when we're saved, every morning we get up. I've kind of used this. Used to I'd said it didn't matter when you do your Bible reading during the day as long as it's sometime. But now I kind of like the idea in the morning because I can dedicate the day, the rest of the day, to the Lord. I know you can do it at night. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to do better. But when I wake up, I don't remember that. So in the morning, get up, read through your devotion. Decide today I'm going to serve the Lord. Today I'm going to let people see the goodness. Today I'm going to try to have compassion. Today I'm going to see things differently. I've been told that as you get older, you get grumpier. I don't believe that. And I may argue the point. I guess which means I'm getting grumpier. But I want to choose not to be grumpy today. I want to show goodness. I want to show that I'm different. I want to show the world that I'm a Christian. So that those around me might see that I'm a Christian without me having to follow a list of rules and a list of regulations and a list of traditions like the Judaizers we're talking about, and just see Jesus working in me.